spike scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait, designation, Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We all about Lost Souls podcast, joined by Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
Red Powell and Adam Camilleri.
What up?
G'day.
Today, we're going to be talking about Death Guard and World Eaters. You can get your hands on the starter boxes for them this weekend. Games Workshop was kind enough to send us the data sheets and some of the boxes. I'm going to show off some of the... I primed this Death Guard green. This is the one of the new characters you can get in the Death Guard box. It's going to be pretty spectacular. Let's actually start out talking about Death Guard. I hope everybody's doing all right. We're going to be going down some of the major changes in the codexes coming out. And, talk about, I guess, what we like and the things to watch out for.
Yeah, this is a very exciting release for me because I've really wanted to see what their think tank can do with these two identities. Of course, you have just like, okay, cool, we're slow and durable. How far can we push that in a codex for Death Guard? We punch real good. How far can we push that as an identity and within the constructs of, you know, the game that we play with World Eaters? I got to say, like, they've changed some of the goalposts, but I think people will be genuinely pretty happy with the results.
I was really concerned just as a I play Death Guard. I have built Death Guard Plague Marines. I was concerned that the way you construct a Death Guard Plague Marine unit would not survive into the future.
You get your one of, you mean?
Something like that. You know, I wasn't sure exactly, you know, if it was going to be, because it is, it's like you can kit them out a couple different ways, and it's one of those things that people have certainly, you know, meta chased on. I've been guilty of that, of building fit for purpose units. And anytime you're dealing with an index, it's like, going to be?
I've been a huge Plague Marine stan in saying that they're like the most flexible and probably best per point for what you can do with it. Like the highest possibility of what you can do with it, battle line units in the game. It's probably like top three in my estimations that you can make it a shooting unit. You can make it a fighting unit. You can make it bits of both unit. You can make it a mortal wound dealing unit. You can make it just a bunch of objective control to go and flip objectives. You can make it a fights first, you know, merely deterrent unit. So I've been a big fan of Plague Marines for a long time, and I don't think that's going to change in this book.
I don't either. But the nice comforting thing that my fears, you know, were unfounded. You can build those the Plague Marine unit in the same capacity as you did before. Basically, you build it for a certain whatever style you want, or as the game shifts, your models that you lovingly crafted and put time into are still functioning. Codex, really nice to see. There are some things though that are not present that were previously present in the index, and that's worth pointing out. Go and get this out of the way. There's no Chaos Lord in Power Armor or Terminator. There are no Cultists. And there's no standard Chaos Sorcerer, but there's basically everything else, like all the Death Guard specific things that you know and love are in this dex and even expanded upon. And like there are some really nice changes, and then some things that you are gonna be leaving a mark on the meta, I think, for the next several months.
So straight off the bat, alluding to what we're gonna be talking about. It's interesting how they're dealing with Primarchs moving forward, because Mortarion is, oh my god, very, very good. I believe.
The same thing. It's a little bit different.
Completely different. He's more deadly in combat, which is good, needed to be. And instead of having, you know, one aura to rule them all in ignoring all modifiers, he now has auras that are kind of fit for purpose, but all do very exciting, interesting things. As he's like, you know, the Primarch pick your ability, pick your poison, choose your own adventure style.
Yeah, once per turn, this model can use the one of the Lord of the Death Guard abilities, and there's like a table similar to Fulgrim has to the left there.
But it's important in that, you know, instead of, you know, in a specific phase, you choose this.
Yeah.
I think he has more flexibility in that his is this once per turn, and then you choose where these three, like where you want one of these three things to occur. And technically, I mean, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but once per turn is arguably better than once per battle round, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Because some of that's more situational to what's happening in your opponent's turn versus what's happening in your turn.
Well, in addition, you don't have to you know, so a lot of the time what your Primarch is doing is usually very face up, because you have to pick it at the start of a command phase or start of a battle round, or, you know, in your, yeah, whatnot. Whereas this one is just three abilities that anytime one of them triggers, you can choose to use it. That'll be the only one you get to use for that turn. But the fact is that you have three things that your opponent needs to, you know, conjure in their head of three things you can do to mess with them, three things you can do to impact the game, rather than here's, you know, here's Fulgrim or here's Angron, who's just going to, you know, do something a little better for this turn. Mortarion kind of holds his cards a little tighter to the chest and is like, ah, this one. And I like that. I like that ideology a lot. I hope that I adopt that more across the board for Primarchs.
The first ability here in the Lord of the Death Guard is Diseased Influence. Just after an enemy unit ends a normal move, advance or fall back, move within 9 inches of a friendly Death Guard unit that is within 6 inches of this model. If that Death Guard unit is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units, it can make a normal move up to 5 inches.
Yep. That's a CP. That's a stratagem. That's something that people have been paying command points for since the start of this edition. And he's just got it built into the data sheet. But wait, there's more, didn't you?
Well, and also, you know, the fact that this is a codex limited by 4 and 5 movement ranges on a lot of the stuff you might be taking. And so anything you get a little bit of bonus.
It's huge.
Yeah. I think that's an excess. That might be even something that this codex would have paid 2 CP.
You know? Yeah, because it's something it doesn't get access to otherwise. You know, it's not like it's Thousand Suns where you just pay the Cabal points and move again. This is like a serious force multiplier.
Boon of Death is the next one. In the fight phase, when a friendly Death Guard unit within 6 inches of this model is selected as a target of an attack, this model can use this ability. If it does, until the end of the phase, each time a model in that Death Guard unit is destroyed by a melee attack, if that model has not fought this phase, roll a d6 on a 2+. Do not remove it from play. The destroyed model can fight after the attacking unit has finished making attacks.
So we know on Stratagem Economy, CP Economy, 1 CP for a 4+ fight on death is the going rate for a 50-50 to fight on death. So this is more akin to a 2 CP stratagem because you fight on death on a 2+. So I'm really here for this one. I think this is an excellent option.
And this is not like a terrain piece that you're dragging around with you or whatever. This is on a Primarch, a toughness 12, 16 wounds, 2+ save, 4+ invulnerable, with a truckload of quality attacks. movement 10, you know, again, that premium thing here. The last one of the three things to do is the Inflamed Reprisal. And your opponent's shooting phase, when a friendly Death Guard unit within 6 inches of this model is selected as the target of an attack, the model can use this ability. If it does, after the attacking unit has finished making attacks, that Death Guard unit can shoot as if it were your shooting phase. But when resolving those attacks, it can only target the enemy unit and only if this is an eligible target. So
another one. That's a command point. And the fact that you don't need to pick these, you just wait until one of these gets triggered and then choose to use it or not, means that there's a huge amount of depth and interplay and psychological warfare that's going to be enacted just by Mortarion existing on your table.
Yeah, of doing things that your opponent wants to do to you, and you get answers. And this ability, I mean, I know we just talked about some great abilities, but just all the time, doesn't have to choose. This is just something that Mortarion has. The Host of Plagues. At the end of your movement phase, roll 1d6 for each enemy unit within 6 inches of this model, adding 1 to the result if the enemy unit is afflicted. We did jump in right to the end of this, but the afflicted is if you're within contagion range or some other things we'll talk about, then you are afflicted and you get the stuff. But result, if that enemy unit is afflicted on a 3+, that enemy unit suffers d3 mortal wound. So you roll a d6, adding 1 to the result if the unit is afflicted on a 3+, so basically 2+ all the time coming out of round 2, that enemy unit suffers d3 mortal
wound. And what I love is that Mortarion also has grenades. So you can throw a grenade. He also has Rotwind still as one of his shooting profiles, his psychic attack that does devastating wounds. So you can grenade and then Rotwind somebody to do some devastating wounds there. And then you can do D3 as well. So you will just get worn down by trying to exist close to Mortarion, as it should be.
Yeah,
and at the same time, he's going to be really difficult to kill because he is toughness 12. He's got a 4+ invul, 2+ armor, and a 5+ feel no pain. It's not like you're going to be able to just easily snipe him and get this force multiplier off of the field.
Exactly right. He's got 2 wounds less than a Rogal Dawn, but he has 16 wounds with a 5-up Feel No Pain, so it's a pseudo extra 2.5 wounds that he has riding there. So it's like an effective 18.5 wounds that you've got to get through a 2+, 4+, T12. So he's a Rogal Dawn and a bit to kill. And it's a lot. He's a lot. I like it.
Deadly Demise, D6, Deep Strike, and you mentioned that 5+ Feel No Pain. So bonkers. I mean, really, not. I mean, in a vacuum, right? I mean, of course, you are playing with a model that has to move around the tabletop, you know, is going to be a target, you know, will definitely soak fire from your opponent, and we have seen giants fall. So it is it is very possible. But man, what a package.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to continue to see play.
Going down the list of some of the like the other changes in the book, the foul Blightspawn, the stink is that now no one can start or end an advance move within 9. The fight first still exists, but it's a little bit so. I guess we can talk about that in a second. Another, but I want to run down some of these things. A playcaster, the gift to contagion is much different. Gives sustained hits 1 against afflicted units, and this is, I don't want to segue us, but I want to talk about Poxwalkers for a bit. There are several characters that can lead Poxwalkers, and Poxwalkers can infiltrate. So, like, we're going to see some encroaching plague hordes arriving at a tabletop very soon.
Yeah, and there, of course, is a detachment that heavily supports Poxwalkers, as you could assume, and it's a banger. It's a banger. I have some qualms. As I know, Tanya, when we were chatting about this in the green room, Tanya's like, how did they not learn? How many times do you have to teach you this, old man? Because you get free.
Yeah, pretty good. So let me finish talking about the foul Blightspawn, too. Is it the blinding spray in the fight phase? You can select one model from your army that with this ability. If you do so until the end of the phase, that model's unit has the fight's first ability. Each model can only be selected for this ability once per battle. And then that's the blinding spray. The putrefying stink is that enemy models cannot start or end within 9 inches of this model, which is also very powerful. It's still going to be taken very used here.
Well, why that is amazing is that it stops people flipping objectives on you. So, of course, what people want to do against things like foul Blightspawns that have fights first is that instead of trying to, you know, contest them, trying to go and kill them, you go and contest them. So if you've got a unit of like 10 Plague Marines on an objective, what you don't want to try and, you know, fight that fist to fist, you're going to lose. So what you want to do is get a unit like Guardsmen and advance them onto the point, and then just contest it over your opponent so that they don't get the primary score. But then you can't advance. So you actually have to put in a lot more prep work into trying to take objectives off these units.
And going, you know, bounce to the Malignant Playcaster is that the gift of contagion, psychic ability, while this model is leading a unit, each time the model in that unit makes an attack that targets a unit that is afflicted, that attack has the sustained hits 1 ability. Also has the Pestilence Fallout in your shooting phase after this model is shot. Select one enemy infantry unit hit by one or more of those attacks made with the Plague Wind until the end of your opponent's next turn. The unit is enfeebled. While the unit is enfeebled, subtract 2 from the movement characteristic of that unit. So you're not getting away from the Poxwalker. It's like a horror movie, you know, combined into one thing here, and can lead Plague Marines and Poxwalkers. And again, why I keep talking about Poxwalkers is they're going to be a thing, and we might as well talk about them like right now.
I think it maybe real quick, we just hit on the afflicted piece. And so, you know, it's pretty cool. I do appreciate that they did this. You know, Plague Company was the leading index detachment. And then they, of course, released the Grotmas one, which is really good. And that one will still be available. But Plague Company goes away as we move forward into the Codex, because now it's effectively the army detachment rule is contagion range plus Plague Company. So you choose one of those plagues coming out the gate. And then the detachments that we can get into later have, you know, different variations that they apply over on top of those, that new detachment. And so that's a pretty big deal, this affliction piece that goes into this and everything that comes with it. Contagion range, everybody's used to, but now everybody gets to pick one of the 3 plagues right out the gate, and they hold that. There's one detachment that gives you a little more flexibility and, you know, a couple strats out there. But that's a huge piece as kind of the backbone to the whole army that I think is going to be massive, because they also maintain this, you know, this deal of many of the characters as you go down can be 2 attached to it. So now there's a specific thing, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong on this, but so if you look at the Malignant Plaguecaster, he does not have the attached two units to this squad kind of deal.
He doesn't. There's a kind of configuration that you do it. Some of the characters can be a second character. Some
Correct.
Of them cannot be that second choice.
And so, okay, just follow me on this. We got Plague Caster. Paul, you already hit it. While this model is leading a unit, each time a model in that unit makes an attack that targets a unit that is afflicted, that attack has the sustained hits one ability. Okay, let's scroll real quick down to the, I'll butcher this, but the Putrefier, Biologus Putrefier, right?
Well done.
Yep. So nailed this it. Is the one you got to put the Plague Caster on first, and then you can attach this guy because he's got the rule like many of the others do that allows you to have two units to the Plague Marines, right? And so he's then got Foul Infusion. While this model is leading a unit, weapons equipped by models in that unit have the Lethal Hits ability. In addition, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, a critical hit is scored on an unmodified hit roll of 5 up instead of only 6. So now you're getting Sustained Hits 1 and Lethal Hits on 5 up.
Yeah, that makes and this guy can join Plague Marines, and so that could be a lot of shots. Jumping to the Poxwalkers is that they have infiltrate, movement
huge
of 5,
right
with
now.
Two attacks. Remember, but two attacks potentially sustain hits on these. Strength 3, 1 damage, and then they still have the curse of the Walking Pox. Each time a Poxwalker model in this unit makes an attack that destroys an enemy model, after that unit has resolved its attacks, you can return one destroyed Poxwalker model to this unit. And they have a special rule. If Typhus is leading them, then Typhus's Eater Plague also counts as this for the Poxwalker ability. You can take units up to 20 with these, and 20 infiltrating Poxwalkers with a 5+ Feel No Pain, potentially sustained hits, backed up by a couple characters. There are a couple other characters that can join Poxwalkers. I think it's going to be an archetype that people try.
100%.
Looking forward to seeing them. I'm a big old Plague Zombie fan. Other big changes in the book. So we're talking about largely data slate abilities. I cannot state this enough that we are talking about like data slate abilities. These are things that are just on. You don't have to unlock, put in the secret code, take an attachment that limits you from other things or whatever. This is just stuff on the page of these units. Deshral Terminators can stick a landing 6 inches away.
Yep.
Within of an afflicted unit.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It does have to be within an area of an afflicted unit, but there are multiple ways to afflict a unit from the distance.
Yeah, I'll just pick up this detachment real quick, because it's a good point and something that, you know, to think about in regards of what you're picking. But when it comes to the Mortarion's Hammer.
Hammer, yeah.
Yep, detachment ability, Miasmic Bombardment. At the start of the battle round, select a number of enemy units more than 12 inches away from every model from your army that is on the battlefield. Till the end of the battle round, those enemy units are afflicted. The maximum number of units you can select in this way depends on the battle size. It's 2 for a Strike Force game of 2,000 points. And so at the start of the battle round, you just pick 2 units that are in the back, and then you can drop those Death
My
Shroud
note here,
right on top.
Martarion's Hammer pairs well with Deathrod Terminators.
It sure does. Well, and a lot of this, I mean, just the how they've stacked on the affliction. I mean, the units are good, right? And so you go to a Plague Marine as your balance to the zombie horde here. And Plague Marines, essentially, after you finish shooting at something, they then that unit that you shot at then becomes afflicted.
And you got 24-inch range on some of their guns, plus their, you know, you basically almost got a 30-inch range of shots on something to make them afflicted to stack up your things. Now, granted, you know, movement, whatever, you gotta be the next turn, but you're still applying that affliction from range.
Sure. And those afflictions, I mean, they're you know, not bad afflictions, but something else I want to, you know, link in with this as well is that when you look at rhinos, so I'm a big fan of how rhinos are no longer just the staple recover one wound every time in the command phase. Like, that's how they've been forever, right? But a chaos rhino from the Death Guard has this fire support rule. In your shooting phase, after this model is shot, select one enemy unit hit by one or more of those attacks. Till the end of the phase, each time a friendly model that disembarked from this transport this turn makes an attack that targets that enemy unit, you can reroll the wound. And so you just unlock real quick, you know, your rhino moves up, everybody disembarks, they all shoot, the rhino shoots first, it shoots at something, and then this unit that may or may not have lethal hits and sustained hits one on fives suddenly just pops off and just and is rerolling all wound. It's a pretty big turnaround for a unit getting out of these rhinos, and so I really like to see that.
We also need to let you know that you may have been thinking that Deshroud Terminators, you get the deep strike 6 inches away. But surely they can't charge, right? Surely they just don't get to 6-inch deep strike and charge, right? This slow lumbering unit. They absolutely can. Absolutely can charge
but,
off that deep strike.
Only if you're afflicted.
Only if you're afflicted, which, yeah, you're going to.
There are ways.
I will also tell you that Deshroud have been enhanced on their data sheet. They have an extra Pippa movement, so they're movement 5 now, and I believe an extra toughness, being toughness 7. So they are straight up, right up, Alaris from Custodes. They are 4 wounds, toughness 7, 2 up, 4 up. They are Alaris Custodians. It is very, very cool to see.
It's pretty intense, honestly. Mm. Points... You're talking about earlier about them being extremely efficient for their points. I do think that we have seen it balance itself, right? In my opinion, I think that, of course, we at the time we're talking this, there will be a day one release for the points, right? A day one patch, sure. If you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And with that, what's in the codex, I thought they were doing, I think it was a pretty good initial stab, but we know, it takes time to develop these. It takes time and the meta develops and there's already a data slate probably that's already come out by the time that from when this book was written to when it's printed to when it ships. I don't know all the logistics, but that's just an assumption that I think is fair to have. And so they've been dropping these day one patches, and the day one patch for Death Guard, it's 6 models, Death Shroud Terminators, 300 points.
Seems fair.
Seems fair.
They're going to hit hard, and they're going to get there. Whereas before, like as someone who has definitely like come down 9 inches away and never made that charge. I mean, not never, but like enough to where it's like punishing.
Yeah,
feels real good.
So here's the thing, right? Because previously, even if you made that 9-inch charge, most likely you were hitting a screen, and then the rest of the army backs up out of charge range. What if they couldn't advance away? Because you used a rhino with the foul blightspawn to make it so they can't start or end an advance move within 9 inches of the model. So you're like, what's your move characteristic, mate? That's all you get. So there are some beautiful little combos here to trap people, slow them down, make sure they stay within contagion range, make sure they stay within shooting and charge range. I think there's some really, really excellent combos here.
Combos all over the place. And let's talk about the new model. So the brand new model, the Lord of Poxes, basically gives an 18-inch loan op to the unit of Blade Marines, and that is an army that wants you to get close enough to them to do something to, where now just basically makes you get closer.
Also, I've just got to say, so the vast majority of the time, you will get one premium thing on your World Eater character. It's cool. You get a good flamer and fights first for the Blightspawn. You get good grenades. That's kind of it for the other guy. This dude, for some reason, absolutely slaps in combat. In addition to having two,
he's got a big sword.
Buffs.
That's the benefit of being modeled with a giant weapon. So he actually does several things. The Lord of Poxes is this model here. I primed Death Guard green, getting ready to go. Cannot wait to get that painted up. Add 3 inches to the range of this model's contagion ring. Just data slate ability. Again, we're talking about data slate abilities. Shroud of Disease. While this model is leading a unit, that unit cannot be targeted by ranged attacks unless the attacking model is within each.
Hell yeah.
Of course, he is, bad to the bone, so has a plasma pistol. That's the mark. That's the anointment of the 44,000 millennium. But then the Great Plague Blade, devastating wounds, lethal hits, 6 attacks, hits on 2, strength 8, neg 2 AP, 2 damage apiece.
It's amazing. It's just amazing he gets to, all this goodness and still just absolutely smacks in combat as well. Big fan.
Can lead play.
Just put it out there. Is a Death Guard the unit that has, so are they the army that actually technically has the most Primaris lieutenants? Like technically?
Of all the just random characters?
Yeah. Because how many we got now? So we starting from the top. We have the Malignant Playcaster.
Yep.
We have the... So I'm not going to count Lord of Virulence. Cool. It's Terminator armor. We're not going to count him. So, Lord of Poxes is the new one. Malignant Blade caster, like I said. We've got Tallyman. We have, who else have we got? Yeah, Plague Caster.
The Noxious Blightbringer.
Noxious Blightbringer.
Who can join Poxwalkers, by the way. That's a...
Yep. Foul Blightspawn. We're up to 5. Biologist Putrefier. He's our 6th. And there's another one.
The Plague Surgeon.
Plague Surgeon. 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to stop there, though. They can't have any more because it's 7. They're at 7. That's it. They got to stop.
I guess we can't. We won't count the Icon Bearer.
Who?
The Icon Bearer, basically. The.
Yeah.
Man, my goodness, though. The Lord of Poxes, that comes in the new box set, which is also up for pre-order. And it's a great box set. And it comes with a Plague Burst Crawler and a Bloat Drone. And let me tell you about the Bloat Drone.
Oh, yeah.
So I went back to the bits box to find the basically the grenade launcher, the heavy blight launcher, because on the Bloat Drone with the heavy blight launcher, it has one explosive blight. In your shooting phase, each time this model makes an attack that destroys an enemy unit before removing the last model in that unit, roll a d6, adding 1 to the result if it's afflicted. On a 5+, each enemy unit within 6 of that model is afflicted until the start of your next turn. So that's kind of cool. But the heavy blight launcher has blast, lethal hits, d6 plus 2 attacks, hits on 3s, strength 10, neg 2 AP, 3 damage apiece.
It is an incredible weapon. Incredible. So minimum 3 shots, minimum 4 shots if you're shooting a unit of 5, all the way up to possible 10. Possible 9 shots if you're just shooting at 5 miniatures. And then if you kill them, you can just spread the sickness. You can be an extra, their -1 armor within 6 inches for everything else. You can time this very well so that this one just picks up the last model, which is very likely to do if you've got a unit of 5 scouts or 5, Astartes, anything. It's very likely this guy will pick up.
All those Eldar running around?
Oh, going to blow up the Eldar. Absolutely. Blow them up. Yeah. Huge fan.
This is on a T9, 5+ invulnerable save, 3+ armor save, 10 wound, OC3 movement 10 model.
Yeah, I think they're incredible.
Wow. It is good times. So if you have previously not equipped them with that, raid your bits box. You might want to consider that.
It's a good time to have had them magnetized in the first place. Very good time.
Indeed, yeah. But nice upgrade. Let's see what else is different here. We mentioned that lots of characters can join the Poxwalkers. I think that's going to be a thing to where just the pressure, 80+ models in your face, and then things can be coming in out of the. Off the table edge and everything too. We could talk about that because you can respawn some of these.
So yeah, it's time. It's time to talk about the Tanya's favorite detachment.
Yeah, the different still change. Lord of the Virulence, the Blight Bombardment is different. It kind of combos with the Plague Burst Crawler. Maybe if you want to launch some attacks, it combos pretty well with blast stuff. The Hellbrute has changed. It gets +1 to wound against afflicted units. So that could be pretty good. If you're looking for, we've seen a lot of those kind of 60mm, 4mm bases running around and doing stuff. There's a lot. This is going to be a very compelling codex. I think this is going to have an impact.
So, is it the Shamble Rot Vectorum? Is the detachment in question?
Is that the one that allows you to basically respawn?
Oh, respawn.
Not even respawn.
Yeah.
Freebies.
So this is the Shamble Rot Vectorum. The detachment rule is in your command phase in each of the following battle rounds, depending on your chosen battle size, add a new Poxwalker unit with a starting strength of 10 to your army and strategic reserve. If you're playing Strike Force, it is turn 2, 3, and 4. 2, 3, and 4!
You just get 30 Poxwalkers, and you get 10 of them on turn 2, turn 3, and turn 4. And Poxwalkers also gain battle line, so you can have 120 of them in your already, because you can have 6 units of 20 in your starting army, and then you get 10 for the lulz, so on 2, 3, and 4.
So
and
just
then
deploy
naturally, yeah.
A big old blob right there in the middle. This blocks everybody else, and you just pile everything about it.
What is interesting is that they're allowing you to have a unit that comes on from strat reserve in turn 4, which is actually very unique. This is kind of the first time I've seen that.
As a base rule that starts in strategic reserve.
Correct. Yeah. There will be have to be an FAQ to say that in, you know, in competitive games that they don't just auto die. Cool. You got 10 Poxwalkers in reserve. That's turn 4.
Or maybe they do. That's very themey.
But you can tell the intent here. The intent is that on turn 4 you get 10 Poxwalkers, and you can only assume things get better from there because guess what they do. So the one that I like the most is actually probably the most mundane one, which is just giving an extra OC, just giving OC plus one. Noxious Blightbringer just joins Poxwalkers, gives them another OC. I think that's my favorite one just off the cuff, because just wading into people with this, you know, very annoying to remove for the points unit of 20 Poxwalkers, that's OC a bazillion, and getting models back. It sounds like, you know, Yomar, we have Necron Warriors at home. You know,
that's OC 40 for 42, 43 or something with the they do get to replace their models when they kill something. And then Noxish Blightbringer, what is it? Obviously one of the characters that can join Poxwalkers, and we didn't talk about it. It gives add one to the movement, and you can reroll advance and charge rolls for the unit that it joined.
The other enhancement I really like is the Talisman of Burgeoning, which is essentially Death Guard model only. While the bearer is leading a unit, add one to the toughness characteristic of Poxwalkers. So you'll get a unit of, you know, up to 20 T5 Poxwalkers to just roll around with.
So
very nice.
You will see this list. I think this is something that this is one of the list archetypes that kind of appeals to people. They like that horde of zombies or undead or whatever that do shamble across the field. And it's cool to put some of these characters with these units, like Typhus with plague zombies. Awesome. So other stratagems, and again, now I guess we can talk some of the stratagem support. Like everything in this detachment is only one CP. Hidden amongst the dead in the reinforcement step of your movement phase, one Poxwalker unit from your army that is in strategic reserves that is not an attached unit until the end of the phase, models in that unit have the deep strike ability.
So you can rain the Pox, those three free units that you have on turns 2, 3, 4 in a strike force game, for one CP can just choose the deep strike. And so I just think that's exceptionally
good. Not an attached unit, so you can't put another character with it. Like even if it's Typhus who has deep strike, you can't throw Typhus in there. So probably a little bit of balance there.
The one I like a lot is the group of the Porking Walks. Group of the Walking Pox.
I was like, close.
Rocks, walk. Anyway, it's a flight phase. So pretty much how this works is for one CP, one Pox Walking unit from your army that was selected as a target of attack, so you're being attacked. After the attacking unit has fought, roll 1d6 for each model in your unit that was destroyed. And on a 6... the attacking unit suffers a mortal wound, and if a unit is not destroyed, every mortal that you do will get you a Poxwalker back. So there are units in the game that will go in and against, you know, the T5 unit, let's just say, have good odds to scrape, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 of your Poxwalkers in an activation, especially when we talk about World Eaters in a few minutes. They've got some models and units in there that'll just go straight through these Poxwalkers. But let's just say they kill 18 of them, and you roll 18 dice and you spike a little bit and you get 5 Poxwalkers back, half kill their unit, and now you're back up to, you know, 7, 8 Poxwalkers, and then, you know, you attack. And you maybe get one or more back. But is this at the end of the flight phase? After they're attacking just force? Yeah, so it's before you activate. So you will regen back up more attacks to possibly do more wounds and get more Poxwalkers back. And so that's a bread and butter for me. That's like bread and butter.
Love it. We do need to take a break and talk about World Eaters here in a second. Important to mention also that there are demons in this. There is a detachment very similar to the Emperor's Children that allows you to take the certain types of demonic units that are in the Codex here that are specific to the Death Guard demons, the Nurgle demons. This book is going to rock. Like, it's just absolutely going to rock. We already know Death Guard is like incredibly popular in like Europe. I'm sure they have to be like, that scene is going to explode in a virulent, fiery pop. I was trying to think of something.
I think that Death Guard in general everywhere is pretty popular. So with people having more ways to play, I think that you're going to see more and more of these collections get dusted off. Not even just because, you know, it does have some powerful rules. It has a lot of thematic rules as well, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, well said.
It does. It all fits well. Like, nothing in here is like, oh, that's, you can look at the model like, yeah, I could see that. Lord of Virulence, I guess I would want to touch on that. There's, as we know, 100,000 characters in the thing. They'll do something, you know, there's like a way to stylize your army. And this is the one that has the twin plague spewers, can join Blightlord Terminators and Deathrow Terminators. Virulent aura, while this model is in a unit, each time a model that unit makes a range attack, you can reroll the wound roll. So think about those like Deathrow Terminators that, you know, they have torrent weapons. So now they're extra deadly with lethal hits. And then the blight bombardment at the start of your shooting phase. Select one enemy unit within 30 inches invisible to this model until the end of the phase. Each time a friendly Death Guard model makes an attack, a ranged attack that targets that unit, you can reroll a hit roll of one. If that attack is made with a blast weapon, you can reroll the hit roll instead. So I kind of thought that might pair well with the Plague Burst Crawlers. You also get one of the Plague Burst Crawlers in set. It's a good set. New character model, cool things you're actually going to get used from. And then if you are just getting into the faction, it is a wonderful time to do that because it is going to slap. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back and talk about World Eaters.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everybody. Please check out our sponsors. Don't forget to leave us those 5-star reviews. Do make some comments down below. This is going to be a wild one. Now, Red, World Eaters, you play this faction. Let's give you your hottest take from the very get-go.
Hottest take right out the gate. There are no Vindicators. And yet, I am 100% on board with this codex, and I am happy for it, and I'm glad to see everything that they brought into it. The changes are... And I mean, they've done everything, like brought World Eaters onto the table in a time that they've highlighted all the different, I mean, we've got all four, right? All four cults are in play now. We've got Emperor's Children. Mm. We've got Death Guard. We just finished talking about Thousand Sons are still to come. But now talking about World Eaters, I truly think that they've leaned into it. And we have, since Khorne Demonkin, I think we have the best World Eater codex of right now.
I agree. There is going to be some gnashing of teeth, but I think the fact that this has, the World Eaters now has a fleshed out identity. They were literally just go fast, hit hard, and their Berserker
bring
Warband.
Angron, so you could bring Angron,
because yeah,
he's going to revive.
The Berserker Warband was already the best version of go fast, hit hard in the game. So what were they going to do? They're going to make six more detachments of that? No, what they've done is they've fleshed out the army, so now you have interesting, nuanced ways to play World Eaters. There is a detachment in here that I am so down for because it is Zerkers in Rhinos, and everything that I want for World Eaters players is bringing back Zerkers in Rhinos. They have a detachment that's purely for 8-bound, which is another exceptional detachment. They have a detachment that, in my mind, is a Khorne Lord of Skulls and as many Jackals as you can physically buy. And that one is also really cool. It's more likely a Demon Prince in a reasonable world. Demon Princes and Maulers and Forge Fiends and stuff like that.
You're going to see Lord of Skulls doing it. There are lots of
them. Dude, Lord of Skulls are legit. I love what they've done with this. And for anybody, and I know we're about to get into the army rule here. The blessings, yeah. And people are going to be automatically, oh no, the army's ruined. Because they don't have the +2 move or the advance and charge. But they've given +2 move to most of the stuff you wanted to use that blessing on anyway. So they've essentially just given you another free blessing because they've rolled that into your data sheets. They've rolled the +2 move into the data sheets because Zerkers move 8 now.
Is that a theme that we're seeing? Basically, what you expect from that unit is getting built into the unit, so you don't have to risk some ablative stuff or want it when it's not there. It just kind of becomes part of that unit's identity. Is that a design thing that we're seeing?
I think that's a way to look at the positioning of it. I think that to your point, I don't know if I'd call it ablative necessarily, but I think initially they were building it in that was. You know, what was going to make the army more unique in its own way, right? We talked about contagion range, and now the afflictions are all put together, right? And so with this, we've gone away from a 2-inch deal from Blood Yahtzee, but everything's moving 2-inch faster. And I think that they're just, as they're growing and developing.
I just wanted...
It's a real thing. Okay. Welcome to the game. Welcome to the real game. If you're considering World Eaters, just know that you and me are going to enjoy several rolls of Blood Yahtzee. I agree with you. Like, it is, but I think that it's just the natural progression of building these lore-based factions. And so, like, they started off as they were kind of working with the designs, and then they saw how it worked as people have played it, and as Adam indicated, plenty of people have played it, to go fast and hit hard. And they realized, well, like, how do we build on the lore even more with some other things? And now, you know, we went from just Berserker Horde and then added Vessels of Wrath during the Grotmas deal to now these other five that Adam outlined pretty well. We've got our, you know, the Berserker Horde, the Jackal Detachment, the Demon, you know, the combination Demon Detachment, the Eightbound Detachment, and then you've also got an Armored Detachment. And so they've really captured these different areas of the Codex and World Eaters that I think is great. I mean, and it's when when I talk about Berserker, like, okay, how do you make Berserker Horde any different than what it was before? Well, I'll tell you right now. You change the unit size after you already made it. After you already made them 8-inch movement, now they go from not just 5 to 10, now they go from 10 to 20. And when you tell me that I can bring 80, I mean, you know, in numbers of 8 here, I can bring 80 Berserkers on the field, I mean, it's go time. Like, that's a real Berserker Horde. I admit, I've been playing World Eaters like the last detachment, the Gortrak detachment, which is the armored detachment, which is some great synergy with Rhino Rushing, which is just such classic World Eaters. I mean, I've been Rhino Rushing Berserkers for years now. But the ability to have 80 Berserkers on the table and to move them forward in one go, I'm just going to, you know, so first, with Berserkers, very important. You know, there's plenty of character stuff to talk about, especially Angron as we get back to it. But with Berserkers, moving 8 inches is massive, right? That's a huge jump just in the, like, basic trick of it. Going to the blessings, bouncing right back up to that real quick. There is each time a model, so it's the second one, each time a model in this unit makes a pile in or consolidation move, it can move up to 6 instead of 3. So you've increased the movement that much more. It used to be a thing when I played World Eaters that fought twice, which was a thing a couple editions ago, which has since phased out. You were making so much movement in the fact that you fought twice. You were piling in and consolidating twice. And now they're just getting that built back in its own way. And then we go on to this next part of what a Lord on Juggernaut does, which is, in my opinion, the new lead dude. And this is a massive, massive boost on top of it, because aggressive advance, while this model is leading a unit, he can lead 8-bound, exalted 8-bound, or Khorne Berserkers. I'll have 3, please. While this model is leading a unit, models in that unit have a move characteristic of 10, and each time a model in that unit makes a normal advance, fallback, or charge move, it can move horizontally through terrain features.
Yeah, because the old issue was you would join him. If he could join Berserkers, then he doesn't go through walls. And so he was actually a detriment. But now it doesn't matter.
That's right. Doesn't matter. And they move 10 inches. They don't just move 8. They move 10. And then this next part. That's right. That is a huge yikes.
Some of these deployment zones, you're close. You're closer than people think. Man.
That's right. It is much closer, especially with some of the staggered deployment zones and what you're looking at. Massive. This next ability on the Lord of Juggernauts, I love this because you know, y'all can tell me this may be somewhere else, but I've missed it. And seeing this was not just to say refreshing. I find it novel and appreciated in what I'm trying to do with 80 Berserkers, for example. But crush all who stand before us. Yes, please. Each time this model's unit is selected to fight, you can use this ability. When determining which models in this unit are eligible to fight, any models in it that are within 3 inches of one or more enemy models are eligible to fight. When resolving those attacks, such models can target one of those enemy units that is within 3 inches and within engagement range of their unit, which means I'm going to get, when I go to fight you and I've got this dude leading a unit, all 20 Berserkers or any that are still standing after you've done whatever are going to put it in. Like, they're
exactly
gonna
right. When you factor in your 6-inch pile and consolidate, so anything after you've made your charge move, any model within 9 of the enemy gets to fight. Because you've got a six inch pile in, and then everything within 3. So really, really potent. And the only other place this is found is in the Green Tide for Orcs. They're the only one who has something similar to this.
Yeah. And so then I got to add on this other part, right? Because remember, data slates back and everything. Everything was a big deal about blood surges, right? Like you didn't want to. It's still the same thing. They've kept it and they baked it into the wording.
Oh, yes.
Just the one. But this is a big one. It's D6 now. D6 plus 2.
That on Zerkers.
On Zerkers. Huge. Huge. That's so not only do they move 8 or 10 with the Lord on Juggernaut, but they blood surge D6 plus 2. And there are the Master of Execution, slight change. He no longer fights first. A lot of people are going to be disappointed in that. However, he does allow them to reroll blood surges. And he also allows them to reroll advances and charges. Big
and he's cheap as chips now. He's like halved in points.
This other one I want to add, though, changes to the icon of each time the Bears unit, this is on the Khorne Berserkers and it's also on Jackals. Each time the Bears unit destroys an enemy unit, you gain one bloodshed point. Each time you make a Blessings of Khorne roll one additional D6 for each bloodshed point you have, after which all your bloodshed points are lost. So you get to play. I mean, you could, depending on how many units you kill with these Zerkers or Jackals, you could be playing essentially two cups worth of dice for Blood Yahtzee. And so I'm really excited. That right there, like that, we could outline the whole thing right there. Watching 80 Berserkers move just slam across the field is going to be intense.
And so previously, it's not a stretch to say that the index for World Eaters was pretty much predicated around 8-bound. It was how many 8-bound do I take? It wasn't wasn't that. It's like, cool, I'm taking 8-bound. How many 8-bound do I take? And that was just a sliding scale. And then once you fitted in your 8-bound, you slapped in Angron, some bits and pieces, and your list was done. That's not going to be the case anymore, unless, of course, you're playing their detachment. Their detachment gives them blood surge, by the way. It is just a D6, but that is still very good. You're gonna see a much more fleshed out unit selection for World Eaters as well, and one of the ones I'm so high on, and I love I get to do this with Paul because this is one of mine and Paul's oldest memes. Chaos Spawn, World Eaters Spawn are so good, and if you do not have 6 available to you, make sure you start clobbering some together now, because 3 units or 2 is going to be extremely good. Because one of the things that World Eaters don't threaten to do on every table anymore is get a turn 1 charge. World Eaters Spawn can get a turn 1 charge on every single table in the game. So their movement 10 base, they scout 8. Yeah, so they're just 18 inches up. If you go first on turn 1, your spawn have just moved 18 inches. They get to advance and charge. So they're going minimum 19 inches if you roll a 1 on the advance, and then they declare a charge. If you roll a 6 on the advance and you're in the, you know, you're in Hammer and Anvil, the furthest away.
That is, what's the Search and Destroy or whatever, the circle in the middle? I mean, that's like 19 inches across or something.
You're charging their home objective.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're charging their home objective turn 1. And they're able to declare a charge in which they advance. So you can go 24 inches and declare, you know, an average 7. So 31-inch threat range on an average going up to 36.
Oh, but if you roll any double in your Blood Yahtzee,
yes,
you just re-roll that charge anyway.
Yes.
That's right.
Now you're getting it, Tanya. I love it. So I am a huge, huge proponent of Spawn. And, you know, they have a huge bundle of attacks. They've got 4 attacks
D6
each, plus 4 D6.
Each.
Yeah. Yeah. At 5,
for
1, 2.
Points for 2 models.
Oh, my God. I think they're so phenomenal. They still have their Feel No Pain 5 plus. They're still Toughness 5 with 4 wounds. So each one of them has a pseudo...
That's not nothing.
Yep, pseudo 5th wound. And what you want to do is you want to just send these in and kill all the screens. Like, turn 1, just send in 3... Spawn missiles, pick up all their guardsmen, their rattlings, their infiltrators, their scouts, the things that are going to stop you sending in the hammer blows later in the game. And in addition to that, they're not easy to remove. Like, they're not just like, oh, look at them and they die. So I'm huge. I'm huge.
Tough
on
5, 4 wounds apiece. They're not great on saves, but with the Feel No Pain, like,
yeah,
you never know.
Spawn, evergreen. Every detachment, I think you can take at least 4 spawn in every single army in this book.
Seems like a solid recommendation.
And you build some space out when you bring Goremongers, right? Because they'll infiltrate.
Exactly.
So they'll hold off. So Emperor's Children, you can keep them in their deployment zone to a degree.
It's the same effect that the the Jaegers did for Votann. Because the issue with the Votann having scout on all their bikes and all their Sagittars is that if someone just infiltrates 9 inches away from your deployment zone, you don't get to use that rule unless you want to scout, you know, deeper into your DZ. The Gormungers hold the space out front and then let the spawn scout up and get sent in. And one unit of 8 Gormungers is totally enough for this job. Even though I do think Gormungers are quite good, and if you went, you know, got more units of them, I wouldn't think it's a bad choice.
They're the newest unit introduced through the Kill Team Blood and Zeal box set.
Cool.
Yeah, very nice. And I have
codex.
Two,
and they're also in this codex, by the way. Sorry,
that's right. Yeah. 85 points.
I don't want to take everyone hostage and listen to all my things, but I have three other data sheets that I really want to talk about because they are units you would never have taken in World Eaters previously, and now you really, really want to. But if someone else wants to pop in, you go for it.
Is Hellbrutes one of them?
Yes. Well, you want to tell us about Hellbrutes?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to talk about Hellbrutes. I mean, Hellbrutes are one of those things. It's like when you see the model, I think everyone like has a bias against some of the models that have been around for a long time and historically like have not necessarily made it into a bunch of lists. But I love this this like compulsion to go back and revisit some of these and see if you can make it work. And Hellbrute has Devoted of Destruction. If this model is equipped with two melee weapons in addition to its close combat weapon, add two to the attached characteristic of two weapons and also a frenzy in your opponent's shooting phase and in the fight phase. Each time an enemy unit targets this model, after that unit has finished making its attacks, this model can either shoot or fight. But when resolving those attacks, it can only target the enemy unit that shot it. Yep.
So tell us about this combo, Red, because I know you've lit up like a schoolboy when you're like, the pinball Hellbrute. The pinball Hellbrute, yes.
I mean, well, that's the thing, is that frenzy doesn't say that it's limited in its interaction. Mm-hmm. And so you know, ideally you put a gun on it and then you have a close combat. But it's this ability that it's each time it's finished making these attacks, it can either shoot or fight. And so that ability for it to just constantly go back and forth, like it's only 120 points. Which means that it's definitely on the table for being considered for where it's going to go. And that ability to just constantly react to things without any real limitation to it means that if it's, I mean, it's OC3, it's not, you know, it's nothing crazy, but it's enough that where it's at and those attacks are nothing, any of its attacks really, given that you're giving it, you know, either the fist, the hammer, or the scourge, one of those three, it's still going to put down a lot of damage to somebody. And so how you apply it, there's some nuance, but at the same time, that ability for it to respond to shooting or fighting each time that it gets targeted is massive. It can do... We've talked about it before. Anytime that you can get more actions out of something, you're going to gain a lot more momentum. And having one or two of these is just that big of a deal.
Yep. I want to say and tell you all about the best defiler in the game. So World Eaters now, I think, have the best defiler variant in the game. And I do not think it is close. It still has the crab walker, scuttling walker stuff, so it can, you know, move over terrain and monsters of vehicles, stuff like that. But at the end of your opponent's movement phase, you can select one enemy unit that was set up on the battlefield within 12 of this model, and it can do one of two things. Shoot at that unit, or declare a charge against that unit. So you cannot 6-inch deep strike into a backfield that has a defiler. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know that wingspan, or that crab span. It's wide. It's a wide boy. You know, it's going to cover a lot of your backfield.
What is it? It's like 6 inches wide.
If not more, at least.
Yeah.
It's as wide as a Bane Blade with Sponson. And so the fact is, you just get to shoot. You know, you still have your defiler cannon, which is, you know, a very good battle cannon profile. Rapid fire 3 at 24 inches, 48, rapid fire 3. So you'll have D6 plus 6 blast shots at 10-1-3. You are not deep striking, you know, some uppy-downy, some scouts into your opponent's backfield. You're not gonna chuck down a Calidus assassin. It has to be outside 12 inches or it's dead. You're not gonna go and just easily get at behind enemy lines or an established locus for max points in your opponent's backfield with a single defiler just hanging out on your home objective, which will also offer fire support. Like at the same time, it still just offers long range fire support whilst just literally being like that. You can't have my home. My home objective. Mine can't
have.
Don't
be surprised that I've got four of these things. I know I only need three. I've got four, and they're almost all equipped with.
That's your dedication to the craft.
That's right. Reaper auto cannons and scourges. So they get the extra attacks in, and those Reaper auto cannons aren't a joke either, with devastating wounds, rapid fire 4, meaning at 18 inches there's 8 shots coming and there's sustained hits 1. It's a big deal.
It's a lot of shots. And it's a wild ability. It's the first of its kind of ability, which to me just means that it comes at a premium. It's just worth more because there's nothing else that replicates what this does. So it brings a unique subset of questions to your opponent's strategy.
It comes in threes.
You put like a self-sufficient model on the back. Table it and like not even worry about it. Like it does everything I need to do. It screens pretty well. It's a deterrent. It basically envelops an objective if necessary. It can shoot. It's got to be high on the list.
I would agree. And it's sitting at, when we look at it, the Defiler is 180 points, which is not bad for a vehicle.
Not bad.
Like that. I mean, when a Vindicator, Chaos, or Space Marine costs 185, this thing clearly is earning the.
Yeah.
Huge fan. They would have not given your Vindicators the ability to half the abilities of this.
They wouldn't. But I'm telling you, I don't need it. I got this Defiler. I got 20 Berserkers. And Adam, you want to go off on the Mauler Fiend now? Because we've got that too.
Finally. Yeah. So the Mauler and the Forge Fiend, I think, are both very takeable. The Forge Fiend I'll touch on first because it shows up in the book first. But the Forge Fiend, the welded is Forge Fiend, is a very good model. It does hit on 4, so Bliss Skill 4 plus, but is Ectoplasma Cannons and Hedy's Auto Cannons, as standard. But you got the D3 Blast Rapid Fire 1 on the Ectoplasms now. So at 18 inches, it's 3 plus 3D3 plus Blast. So you're shooting at 5 guys, use 6 plus 3D3 shots. And each time this model makes a range attack that targets the closest eligible target within 18, you're already being told by the rapid fire profile you want to be shooting something in 18. You re-roll to hit, and it's 10-3-3 still on that profile.
That's pretty the thing hits on 4s, so that's like the reroll to hit is pretty impressive.
It is a big
huge.
Deal.
Yeah. Huge. So I think a single, like, I love the idea of a single Forge Fiend in a lot of World Eaters armies. The Mauler, movement 12, yeah baby. Toughness 10, 3 up, 5 up, 12 wounds, OC 3. The Magma Cutter, 2 shots at 9, neg 4, D6 with that rapid fire 1, so it has 3 shots at 3 inches. But melted 2. The Lasher Tendrils, still your 6 extra attacks, but then it has 8 attacks with the Mauler Fists. That's a lot. That's a good amount of attacks. At strength 14, AP 2, D6 plus 1. So 2 more strength than Laz Cannon, 1 less AP, but it's in melee, so there's a lot, there's no cover to worry about here. Its abilities, each time this model declares a charge that targets one or more units below starting strength, add 1 to the charge roll. If it's below half strength, add 2 to the charge roll. So you're very much incentivized to just like plink a wound off something to give this guy +1 to charge. And this time this model makes a melee attack that targets an enemy unit that is below starting strength, add 1 to the hit roll. And below half strength, add 1 to the wound roll. So you want to just hit a wound off something. You just want to hit a model off something. So this guy gets +1 charge, +1 to hit. And then it's hitting on 2s with 14 attacks, which will benefit from sustained and lethals and all the other beautiful things in your army rule.
That's right. It's coming. Now, again, I've got to clearly... There's the thing about these rhinos, right? And we can jump. I mean, I want to go from here to the Chaos Rhino, back up to the detachment, the Gore Track detachment, because I think that it's hot, right? So slight change. You got to go back to the Berserkers real quick. Berserkers are no longer strength 5. They're strength 4. But the Berserker Horde detachment is on the charge. You get +1 attack and +2 strength. So it brings you up. The math ends up being the same as long as you're, right? But Chaos Rhino, meet any challenge. This is its new ability. No longer does it just gain a wound back it doesn't gain a wound back during the command phase. Instead, it has this. In your opponent's movement phase, each time an enemy unit is set up or ends a normal advance or fallback move within 9 inches of this model, any units embarked within it can disembark.
Mm. This is part of the package that comes with the Gore Track, which makes me think that the Gore Track detachment has one of the best primary scoring games in the game.
It's massive. Massive.
You defend your primary so well. Zerkers are still OC2. Yeah, I'm not
That's right.
crazy there.
Yep, they are.
Yep. So if you just have a Rhino on an objective and your opponent wants
just to... Just right there on the little track that's just on it, just like, hey, I'm touching this to say I'm claiming it.
Yeah, and we know that you have to, if you put the Rhino on the center of the objective and they step on, You know, they have to stay an inch away from the Rhino, of course, so it's blocking out a bit of zone. So they can only get a handful of models on. And then you have the option, if they put enough OC on that objective, you can just get these Berserkers out and put 40 OC. So 20 objective control on the objective. And then they're out. You can't shoot them, because then they'll just surge into the unit that was trying to flip the objective. Because of the Blood Surge is D6 plus 2, which, you know, if they're on the objective and you're on the middle objective with the Rhino, they are 100% within 3 inches of that unit on the, off the disembark. So they will all be auto-surged into if you try to put any fire into that Berserker unit. And that is only the start. That's the face-up portion of the package. The gore track goes far deeper into making your primary game just freaking cinched up.
That's right. I mean, detachment rule definitely puts you on the offensive with each time a World Eater's unit from your army disembarks from a transport till the end of the turn, add 1 to charge rolls made for that unit, and that unit's melee weapons have the Lance ability.
If you disembark out of that Rhino when they move within 9 to try and flip your objective, you count as having disembarked for, on the surge move. If you surge in, you will have Lance because you disembarked that turn. Oh,
there we go. And so beautiful. Enhancements real quick, just because I think some of these are really cool. If first enhancement, if the bear's unit disembarked until the end of the turn, enemy units cannot use the fire overwatch stratagem to shoot at the bear's unit, big. Next one essentially gives scouts 9 inches, big.
Auto take, yeah.
And that's just the one that'll just launch forward. Awesome little missile. At the next one is at the start of your shooting phase, you select 1 vehicle model within 6, or if the bear is embarked with the transport, you choose the transport. Till the end of phase, after the selected model is shot, select 1 enemy unit hit by 1 or more of those attacks. Till the start of your next turn, that enemy unit is suppressed, where they subtract 1 from the hit roll. And then this one, Infernal Infusion. Once per battle at the start of the fight phase, the bear can use this enhancement. If it does, until the end of the phase, the bear's unit has the fight's first ability, which I think is probably the only fight's first in this codex. Mm-hmm. Now, some of these strats, though, just because it's so cool and I gotta hit it, it's big. First one, Endless Pursuit of Violence. If your World Eater's unit is wholly within 6 inches of that transport, it can embark within it. So it's the ability to get back in a transport. Massive, right? Massive deal. And that's at the end of the fight phase. The next one allows you to move a vehicle through terrain features on a normal or advanced move. Yep.
Morlefiend gets to go through walls, finally.
That's right. Aggressive disembarkation. I like this one a lot.
This is all sounded like aggressive disembarkation.
It is. But this one's specifically named for it and for good reason. 1 World Eater's unit embarked within your Rhino can disembark when doing so. It's your movement phase. From that has not been selected to move, they can disembark when doing so. Models in that unit can be set up anywhere on the battlefield, wholly within 6 of the Rhino, and can be set up within engagement range of 1 or more enemy units. So if you thought you wrapped up this Rhino to try and keep them from getting out, you're now stuck in fight. Like you're now stuck in fighting those embarked world berserkers. Right, that's what we use.
So good.
Next one is. In the movement phase, Rhino that has not been selected to move until the end of the phase, each time World Eater's unit disembarks from that model after it has made a normal move, that unit is still eligible to declare a charge this turn. That's, so it's just...
Yeah. Do their Rhinos move 12 or 10?
I'm going to say I'm pretty confident they move 12. I'll double check. They move 12.
So that's just 1 CP plus 4 move.
That's right.
Because you move 8 as standard. As long as you can move in a straight line, that's just a 1 CP plus 4 move on your Berserkers. It's more than that. It's plus 7. Because the Rhino moves 4 inches longer than the Berserkers, then you disembark 3. So it's plus 7 move. It's wild.
So this next one, I like when they do this. Unrelenting Advance and Fury Unleashed are ones that you can't use. Like, you can't stack them. Because it shows, you know, there's ideas for balance. And this is your opponent's shooting phase just after an enemy unit is shot. 1 World Eater's vehicle model from your army that was hit by 1 or more of the attacking unit's attacks. That model can make a normal move of up to 6 inches. That's a huge. I mean, it's just getting to places, right?
Yeah.
Next one, Fury Unleashed. Your opponent's shooting phase just after an enemy unit is shot. 1 World Eater's Rhino specific. That from your army that has 1 or more wounds remaining and was hit by 1 or more of the attacking unit's attacks, 1 Khorne Berserker unit embarked within your model can disembark and immediately make a Blood Surge move.
This is the one everyone's going to have to know about and have to play around. Because, yeah, cool, you're thinking, they're going to disembark. Yep, then they're going to make an automatic Blood Surge with plus 2. So they're going to disembark 3 inches and then make it minimum 6. a minimum another 3 inches. So you have to be, if you want to have to be not auto blood surged into, you have to be what, 6.1 away from the rhino?
Right.
Yeah, 6.1 inches away from the rhino to not be automatically blood surged into. You have to be 8.1 away if you want to be on average not blood surged into. If you don't want the option to be blood surged into, you have to be 11.1 away, which means you're just zoning off your primary, like I said. You have a rhino on an objective, and you have three ways to make sure your opponent can't mess with it. And it's just so potent.
I love, you know, what you're describing here is almost, instead of just the overtly, you look at it, these guys have axes. We know they're supposed to charge things and kill things, but you're talking about a control game.
Oh, massive skill.
It's a whole new wrinkle on how to play World Eaters, and they've done it in such a World Eaters way. World Eaters. That should be the serial.
I heard you. That was good.
That should be the cereal.
It's the cornflakes brought to you by World Eaters.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that 100%, that is what they're doing now. It's psychological warfare. Because if you were fighting as World Eaters, if you rocked up on a battlefield and you see the World Eaters coming, you're pretty worried.
All right. So I know we just have a few minutes left, but I want to address this. And look, also, outside of what we were just talking about with some of the things in that one detachment that read off, we're talking about, again, just base data slate abilities. These things sound fun to play in a very thematic way, which is so cool to see, and I think it's going to make a lot of players happy about that. But I want to jump, and this is the question, Angron, auto include or not? I have not seen a World Eaters list out there without Angron in a year. What is y'all's opinion going forward, or is it going to be quite as frequently taken as we've seen in the past?
Still good, still great. Major change that he comes back now, and it's very specific. If you do, this model is no longer destroyed, and in the reinforcement step of your movement phase, it's set up anywhere on the battlefield using its deep strike ability with 8 wounds remaining. So it doesn't put him in reserves. He has to be set up in a very specific way. So I'm going to, Adam, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you can rapid ingress him, ingress him here, right?
Yeah.
And then... when you do it, he takes up, it used to be that it was in addition to Blood Yahtzee, but now when he does it, he takes precedence over all other blessings. So if you choose to resurrect him on a 666 in Blood Yahtzee, you get nothing else, no other blood blessing. And so, and he comes back with 8 wounds remaining, and you can't rapid ingress him. And so, not saying that that takes away from him so much. I mean, they do have him in the day one update at 385 points. So I think he's competitive. I'm just saying he's not auto take necessarily. I think that he still takes a lot, but that's it.
Yeah. So I'm a little down on him. I'm really, really high on Khan, the betrayer. I think he's much akin to Lucius. I think he's bordering on auto include, and, you know, much akin to Ahriman is in Thousand Suns. Angron for me is right place, right time now, like right list now. Rather than being unga bunga, chuck him into everything, he's never going to be a bad reason to have him. I think he has to be put in your list with nuance and consideration. He still kills anything he touches. he still has three great Primarch abilities. The first of which I'm really high on, because while he's on the table, you can reroll 6 of your blood dice rolls. So 6 of your dice, you just get to reroll. And we know you're going to be adding dice.
We're talking about how it works. People are kind of familiar with it. You roll 8 dice, you can then use those the combination of dice that you get to do certain things.
Yeah. Right. So his three abilities are still very good, especially that one. That one's my favorite one, where you can just make sure you're just getting and high rolling to get the ones you want every turn. But yeah, he's not auto include anymore. I would like to see his points come down a little bit over the next couple of months, because I think 385, they're just being a little cautious with him to see what happens. 350, 340 seems a bit more of what I'd like to see him as to get back to, you know, being in most lists. But I don't expect him to be heavily taken on the outset, and I'm happy about that. I'm really happy that he's not going to be the auto include, and your list starts 400 points down because Angron's just too good not to take. I like it when your Primarchs are taken with, you know, what am I giving up to take him, and is he worth the points? Because that's where the Lion's at, that's where Fulgrim's at, Gilliman and Magnus, you know, notwithstanding. But I think he's decently balanced at the moment, but the points might be a little bit too high for my taste, my ultra competitive taste. Khan the freaking betrayer, though, like, he can betray me all day. But he now still gives a real once to hit, once to wound to the Berserkers unit that he joins. He still will, you know, I say bodyguard unit if you you know, don't make a charge with him or he's not in combat. But he gets back up on a 2+ now, which I think is far more thematic to his fluff as well. Yep. The fact that he on a 2+, he'll come back with 3 wounds remaining. And man, oh man, when you're playing against Guard or Tau or one of these mono phase armies, oh, he's just a problem. He's just such a problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of thematic rules, though, wouldn't it be funny if he was immune to tank shock?
Yeah, half all incoming mortal wounds specifically for tank shock.
Yeah.
They still hurt, but they can't kill him. Shock can't remove his last wound. That would be really cool. Impale, what would the rule be called? Impale me once, for shame on me. Impale me twice.
Gore shout, 8 attacks, 2+, 7, string 7, -2, 3 damage apiece. Anytime you see that 3 damage, especially on that quantity of quality attacks, I think that's you.
Well, and if he's in the corn, the Berserker detachment, he'll be strength 9. Right, with 9 attacks. And if he's in the Gore Trek detachment, it will be still 8 attacks, but +1 to wound with Lance. Mm.
I do need to say that the last of the Blood Tithe options, or the Pact options, is Decapitating Strikes, which you will get if you roll 2 6s or 3 3s or better. So 3 3s, 3 4s, 3 5s, 3 6. Each time a model in this unit makes an melee attack that that targets an infantry unit, the attack has devastating wounds. And Khan is one of the best applicable places for that ability.
And that devastating wounds has no, I mean, outside of its own restrictions being devastating wounds, there's no like cap to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, there's no like max of 6. Like, so Angron, you know, if you really wanted to, Angron, you know, could go in with his 8 attacks and get 8 hits and 8 sixes and just like, you know, kill the Emperor. how many mortal wounds do you think it would take to kill the Emperor? I think 8d6 plus 16 would probably do it.
I don't think so.
Seems like a lot. Legendary Killer. While this model is leading a unit, each time a model in that unit makes an melee attack, reroll a hit rolls of 1 and reroll wound rolls of 1. So definitely, I think you're exactly right with the spot there. Like, if you're not taking Karn, I think you kind of have to ask yourself why you aren't taking Karn if you're taking somebody he can go with.
Exactly right. Now, there's only 2 detachments that I think Karn still makes sense, but he's not like windmill slam. And that's, of course, in the possessed one, which is all based around 8-pound, so he doesn't really have a place there. Well, he doesn't get the maximum amount of the buffs. And there's the one that's based around the big stuff, little stuff, or biggie smalls, as I call it, where your monsters and monsters and vehicles give a bunch of buffs to jackals, and jackals give a bunch of buffs to the monsters and vehicles. But yeah, he's superb. Do we want to talk about the new character?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The brand new character in this set, too. Let's talk about that, and we'll close out.
So the Slaughterbound, you can assume he can only be attached to World Eaters Possessed models, which are in this, you know, army defined as 8-bound and Exalted 8-bound. Should he be deployed with Exalted 8-bound, he will have Deep Strike. Should he be deployed with regular 8-bound, he will have their Scout 6. In combat, it's got 6 attacks, hitting on 2s at 8-2-2. That's an extremely buffable profile. He's move 10, toughness 6, 3 up, 5 up, 6 wounds. And then he has 2 abilities, guys. Who wants to hit those up?
And it's important that we also just real quick, we won't read off of them, but touch on 8-bound and Exalted 8-bound after this because of how he plays into it. But the first ability he has is Rage Eternal. While this model is leading a unit in your command phase, big here, you can return 1 destroyed bodyguard model to that unit.
Oh my God.
That's 60 points coming back, right? That is massive. Mm-hmm.
And movement, extended movement. Like,
that's right.
It's big. Are they on 50s, 8-bound?
50 millimeter bases and
2 inches plus a 50, so that's like 4-point-something inches increased threat range. Yeah.
And then Possessed Lord, once per battle at the start of the fight phase, this model can use this ability. If it does until the end of the phase, add 3 to the attack's characteristics of melee weapons, and those weapons have the Devastating Wounds ability. So pretty big because it goes from 6 attacks to 9 attacks, weapon skill 2, strength 8, AP minus 2, 2 damage. Pretty big
with
deal.
With devs, yeah.
Yeah, 9 attacks.
Berserker Warband, he'll go to 10 attacks at strength 10 with that profile.
And to add to the comment before about the resurrection of the models on the big old base, these things move 10 base. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is, you're looking at like a 14-inch movement range because this comes back, that model comes back in the command phase.
Yeah.
So. And so outside of 8-bound Scouting 6 and Exalted 8-bound Deep Strike, it's just real quick, 8-bound, so there's no more like various weapon types. All 8-bound have the same weapons. All Exalted 8-bound have the same weapons, where they used to have different weapon profiles. Exalted 8-bounds have chain blades that are anti-monster 3-up and anti-vehicle 3-up. Pretty big deal.
But wait, Red, isn't there an ability to give devastating wounds?
Yeah, exactly.
It's only when you're fighting infantry, but yeah, it's amazing.
But the chain blades, though, when you look at the 8-bound, I mean, they're good. 5 attacks, strength 8, AP 2, D2. But this is the big one, I think, really, is Beacons of Rage. It's an aura. While friendly World Eaters unit is within 6 inches of this unit, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack that targets a unit, excluding monsters and vehicles, so infantry mounted, add 1 to the hit roll. If that attack targets a unit that is below half strength, add 1 to the wound roll. And I really think that this, in the center of any of these things, is really going to step up the World Eaters. Like, it puts them on another level. And this thing kind of moves around in the middle. It's no longer like we were talking about at the beginning, where it's, you know, just how do you build around 8-bound and have them push out? No, it's where do we put 8-bound so that they benefit the army as a whole without, like, they're no longer just all rushing forward to lead the charge. And then Exalted 8-bound are very much monsters or vehicles focused. Their ability is you have to make desperate escape tests if you try to fall back if you're a monster or vehicle from them. So a little different, maybe not as good for Exalted 8-bound, but I think 8-bound have some really good synergy for the rest of the army.
Yeah, I think Exalted 8-bound, if you take them, it's a meta choice, and you're taking, you know, you only need 3-mans. I'm absolutely convinced you only need 3-mans of Exalted 8-bound, 3 models, because, like, they 3 of them with the right buffs and a Slaughterbound kill everything, any vehicle in the game that isn't a Dawn or a Land Raider. So do you want to double the cost of them for the option to kill a Dawn or a Land Raider, or do you just want to kill it by, you know, using 2 units? So the 3 Exalted 8-bound, the character, and 1 other unit just does it anyway. So units of 3 of those, I'm much more on board with the 8-bound. I like bigger units of 8-bound, regular 8-bound.
That's right. I agree.
Wow. I mean, there's going to be some great things hitting the shelves. If you're fans of these factions, you're going to be impressed. If you are just getting into it, this is going to be a great time to jump into it. Lots of options, lots of cool things. I think you're going to see multiple list builds out of these codexes, which is a kind of defining hallmark of a good codex, if you ask me. Cannot wait to see what Brewers do. By the time you hear this, Red and I may have actually had a battle.
Nice.
What are you going to bring, Red?
Agents, baby. you get to fight World Eaters, Death Watch style.
All right. Well, listen. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Please don't forget to hit those buttons, the like, share, subscribes, in the comments. Let us know if you're excited about this. What are you most excited about that maybe we didn't hit? Or anything you want to hear about, let us know on in the comments, and we'll get a hit on the next episode. Y'all have a great rest of y'all's night. We'll see y'all soon, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Scan is clear. I think they're gone for now.